In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear family, just as an aside, kind of as a preface, at the end of Mass, as I sometimes do, had like a post-communion second little homilette, a fervorino. I'd ask anybody, well, do a little research for me, make my job easier. And sure enough, I wasn't back at the rectory more than an hour, and two people did the research. They found Wilton Gregory's response to President Trump's showing up at the March for Life. He didn't. I mean, Trump did. Wilton Gregory did not. And then kind of said, well, I'll just summarize it here. I may go into it at greater length in another day, another homily. Well, yeah, but we as Catholics kind of, he launched into this, the seamless garment argument. You can see it for what it is if you understand what it is. And you can see it the minute somebody starts going on about it. The seamless garment, a heresy first put out there by Bernardine, where it equates all sin to the same level, like abortion is just yet another sin, not the greatest sin. Of course, he then didn't show up. But you listen to Trump when he's speaking about life up there at the March for Life. And I don't think we've ever heard any president of the United States speak so eloquently, so beautifully about life. Anyway, I'll talk about it. I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that some people were actually listening and did some research and sent me something, and I did look at it and saw it for what it was. Well, dear family, while preparing so vigorously for yesterday's meditation that taught a new life lesson, no footnotes, meaning that there are no exculpatory footnotes on the Ten Commandments. There's no small print on the bottom that excuses us from God's commanded compliance with the commandments, and then summarizing it all with Jesus boiling it down to those two great commandments, then adding to the mix the crystal clear understanding that two wrongs don't make a right. I did not know at that time, when I was preparing all that for yesterday, that today's gospel included Jesus boiling it all down to those two great commandments. So I spent all that time talking about the commandments and applying them to our very real lives and applying them to the madness and the chaos all around us. And having done all that work, it would have been easy to make it easy on myself by saying, well, there's today's gospel, job already done. Just go re-listen. Go re-listen to yesterday. But you know better that I try hard to give you your money's worth every single day. Well, let us, though, ponder another eternal truth that we, on today's scriptures, by revisiting yesterday's new life lesson about no footnotes. I said there was no footnote on commandment number 3, keep holy the Lord's day. Then, you know, you go down to the bottom and find a footnote, unless you're on vacation. Well, after about a dozen years of hearing confessions, I cannot count the times that I've heard that as a sin. I didn't make it to Mass while I was on vacation. Here's the thing about that, dear family. And you can tell this to anybody who's going on vacation. If one has gone on vacation and arrived safely, good idea to make absolutely sure that we make the sacrifice to get to the holy sacrifice of the Mass and give thanks to the Lord for having arrived safely at our destination. It's a good idea to give thanks. And then, of course, whilst in the Holy Catholic Church, participating in the holy sacrifice of the Mass, then while you're there, pray for a safe and peaceful vacation and pray for a safe trip home. You do that, you understand there's no footnote on commandment number 3 that says keep holy the Lord's day unless you're on vacation. One of my most beloved families in the Diocese of La Crosse, I won't mention their names, had all their 5 kids participate in sports, which meant they were often on the road over the weekend. And the very first thing, and I do mean the very first thing, every one of those kids knew to do when arriving at the hotel on the sports trip was find out when and where there was going to be a holy mass so that they could keep the Lord's day holy. Nobody got to leave the room and hit the pool or play with their friends until mass time had been established. In fact, this is so cool. Every other kid on the team knew the drill. They knew that this family's kids couldn't do a thing until mass times were established. What an incredible witness of faith to those other kids whose parents were often less concerned about keeping the Lord's Day holy. I mean, this family knows there are no footnotes on the Ten Commandments. I first heard that story 18 years ago and many times since, and I've never forgotten it. All of which brings us to today's sacred scripture, the Psalm, "Teach me your ways, O Lord." And that is what we prayed in our Psalm antiphon several times. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. And then as we heard with such great providence, Jesus taught us his ways, his paths, his truth. Not merely a way among many ways, not merely a privileged way. I'll never not stop talking about Jesus is not the privileged way. Jesus is the way, the only way. The one and only way, the way of love expressed in following his commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. That is his way. That is the way. That is the only way. And in a way, it is the way that Paul followed right into prison in that first passage, Paul's second letter to Timothy. Such is the gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, together with eternal glory. Teach me your ways, O Lord. How few people even say it, much less mean it. How few people are willing to suffer for it. Which is why, watch this now, which is why St. Paul said, therefore I bear with everything, all the suffering he's going through. You know, that one litany, we talked about it sometime in the past 2 weeks, the being beaten with rods, the stoning to death almost. And he says, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen. Did you hear that? I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen. Realize, dear family, realize that St. Paul did not bear everything for everyone, but he bore everything for the sake of those who are chosen. St. Paul said that because not everyone is chosen. In fact, few are chosen. And we know exactly who those few are. They are the few who themselves choose to follow the way, the very narrow way, to the narrow gate, to heaven, to salvation, as St. Paul said. That's not my opinion. You know this. It's not my opinion. Jesus said it. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction, and those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life, and those who find it are few. There it is again, the few and the many. Think of our lives, dear family, as each day we get up, we face a fork in the road. The one fork to the right, a narrow, difficult road to salvation. Whereas the road to the left, well, a broad road to destruction. And the thing is, we already know exactly where each of those two roads lead. We know which direction those forks go in. We know. Yet the many will still choose the broad road to the left, the broad road without the two great commandments, without the Ten Commandments, the broad road of sin without such restrictions as those commandments. Few will choose the narrow road, the road of Jesus' way, even though we know where it leads to salvation. Few will choose that road, Jesus' only road, the narrow way of self-denial, of all those fun things we can do on the broad road to destruction. Jesus' only way, the narrow way of loving self-sacrifice for others. For indeed, there is no greater love than such self-sacrifice, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, dear family, we start each and every day of our lives at that fork in the road. And the question we face is, which way will we choose? Well, let us conclude by calling to mind the words the priest prays, and these are similar words at every holy sacrifice of the Mass, and listen to what he says, to what he prays. Listen to how he's praying that we choose the narrow road, the right road, self-sacrifice out of love. The priest prays, may he, Jesus, we're praying to the Father. That's why I'm pointed that direction, praying to God the Father, not praying to you. Versus Deum, versus God, not versus Populum, the people, toward God, not to people. The priest prays, may Jesus make of us an eternal offering to you. Not like, am I just representing Jesus here, making Jesus' offering on this altar to you, but may Jesus make us as well an eternal offering to you. As he made himself an eternal offering to you, may he make us an eternal offering to you, Father, who loved us so much that you sent your only Son to sacrifice himself, to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. May he make of us an eternal offering to you so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God. Dear blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with St. James the Less, with all the saints, may he make of us an eternal offering to you. Do you realize what the priest is praying when he says that? An eternal offering, an eternal sacrifice to you, Father. Sacrifice, oblation, offering, reconciliation. It sums up the cross on Calvary. It sums up the choice we have to make. Every day we get up and face the day. Which way will we choose? The narrow way of sacrifice, of oblation, and of offering ourselves to our Father, or the broad way? It's a tough choice. It is a tough choice. It wasn't meant to be easy, neither was Calvary. It's a tough choice because it means sacrifice ourselves like Jesus did. But it is the way and the only way. So really, did we mean it when we just got done asking our Lord several times in the psalm, teach me your ways? In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.